I want to talk about, under the theme of encountering God, I want to talk about Abraham, who encountered God, and one or two other things as well. Few weeks ago, Abraham had an experience where God just came close to him, and he had some unbelievably good news. A few weeks ago, my daughter Catherine, probably unknown to most, if not all of you, she'd taken an exam. She's a doctor, and she'd taken some fellowship exams, and she was with us over Christmas and New Year. And it's a kind of big exam, and she worked really hard for it, very hard exam. And she was just sitting on the settee with her iPhone, and she was, Claire noticed just this smile just spread across her face and said, "What are you smiling about, Catherine?" She said, "I passed." She passed her exams. And it's kind of like, you know, sat there, all of a sudden been some incredibly good news had burst into her life. And she was so excited, and we were all excited for her as well. Abraham had some incredibly good news. It's kind of like he was picked out, and something very special went on in his life. I want to talk about, because God is everywhere all the time, but it seems like he manifests his presence. He makes his presence known on special occasions and in different ways. And I want really to talk about both sides of that. The fact that God is here all the time, but hidden. There's a verse in the Bible that talks about God is a hidden God. Truly you hide yourself. God hides himself from us, as it were. But he is everywhere, like air is everywhere. You know, we're breathing it now, but you haven't felt it, have you? Till I just mentioned it now. and it's God is present everywhere all the time. But there are occasions when he manifests his presence. And he comes near. I'd like to show you a short clip of a guy called Josh who had an experience of the manifestation of the presence of God.
So here's a little story about how prayer really changed my life. I grew up in a Christian family. My parents were Christians. I used to know about God in my head. I used to hear about God in church, but nothing really ever connected with my heart to make me believe. And so I kind of lived my life my own way, didn't really want anything to do with God's way. And when I was old enough, I completely sacked off church, and it just really wasn't relevant to me and just really wasn't something that I wanted to pursue. And so I kind of lived life my own way. That didn't get me very far. I used to go out with my mates, getting wasted and getting drunk to try and fill this hole that I had in my heart because I wasn't satisfied with life. I really hated life. And this one night I ended up in a police station from being a naughty boy. I was there all weekend. And that was the first time where I really tried praying. So I started praying and I was like, "God, I don't just want you to help me. I need you to help me because I just hate life at the moment. I'm feeling depressed and feeling lonely. I've got this hole in my heart, like I don't feel satisfied with life." And right there and then I experienced the presence of God like I've never experienced before. It was absolutely incredible. Completely changed my life because I really felt like I met with God right there. It wasn't until later on that I realised, after speaking to my mum, that my mum and my sister had been praying all that night for me as well. And I was like, "Wow, that is amazing." And right there and then I started my journey with God and started my journey as a Christian. And now I'm in 1224 at the Message Trust. We're going around high schools and using music to tell people about how amazing God is. And so prayer really changed my life, so why not try it yourself too?
So I snuck that off the Try Praying app, but it's a great story, isn't it? Just messed up, wasted, in prison, well, a police cell, and he prayed like he'd never prayed before, and he felt the power of God, and it changed his life. Can you turn in the Bible, can you all get hold of a Bible, or at least share one, and turn to John chapter 14, verse 23. Which is probably on page 1082. I didn't check before. I think mine's the same edition, yeah. So 1082, John chapter 14, verse 23. And this is part of a discussion that had been going on, and Jesus is talking about how he's going to make himself known to the disciples, and then Judas says, but why is it just us, Lord? You know, what about everybody else? Can everybody else have an experience of you? So what I want you to do is to look at verse 23. We're just going to do something slightly spontaneous here. I hope you can cope with this. Of course you can. what I want you to do is to look at it, and I want three people, without any prompting, just to read this out loud, clearly, deliberately, one, and then two, and then three of you. So don't hurry it, just look at it. It's a verse 23, yeah, just John 14, 23. Have you all found it? You all got there? Because I want us to think about this. Now I want you to keep looking at it, and I want you to think about it, and put it into your own words. What's this saying? So I'd love it if two or three people would just have a go at saying, what's this mean? Just put it in your own words. Speak it out. It was easier to read it, actually, wasn't it? Now this is a harder one. What's this mean? And thank you. And my shorter summary is, anybody can have an experience of Jesus Christ living within them. A lot of people don't, but this is open to anybody who loves him, obeys him, believes him. So is that us? Can we all now and through the course of our lives have the reality and the experience of Jesus Christ living within us? Because I think Jesus is saying, yes, you can, we can. This is for all of us. And this is what kicked me off into the Christian life all that time ago, just the thought that I could have a genuine relationship and experience of Jesus Christ in my life. And I've been trying to explore that relationship ever since. And for different ones of us, we've all experienced that. So he comes to us. It might not be in some cataclysmic experience, but we encounter God in our lives. Let's look at Abraham now. So, if you want to turn to page 13, be easier to find. Page 13, which is Genesis 12. This person, I'm calling him Abraham, but actually, in this bit of his life, he's called Abram. His name was changed to Abraham a little bit later on, but here he's called Abram. And the significance of this guy's life, I mean, he lived about 1,800 years before Christ. This is going back a long time. This church has been here 800 years, you know, and go back to the time of Christ, and then go back another millennium, and then another 800 years on top of that. This is ancient stuff. And yet, this person, because of what God did and what flowed out of the encounter that he had, he is still talked about today. He is the father of all the Jews. So there's millions of them. There's a kind of a genetic line into Arab peoples as well. And Christians would see him as, in many respects, the father of their faith as well. So how come a man who lived 1,800 years before Christ has such a significance and effect on us today and such an influence on us today in terms of what happened? It's because God stepped into his life and manifested his presence to him. So let's just read the first nine verses of this. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I'll show you." And then quotes, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." I was talking about my daughter Catherine just getting the good news on her iPhone and smiling away. I mean, imagine Abraham getting that on his iPhone or the equivalent. What is God going to do for me? This is huge. And that's what God had said to him. So, verse 4, so Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on towards the hills east of Bethel, pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued towards the Negev. That's the beginning for Abraham, though it's not quite, actually, because they'd started out on this journey earlier with his father, and they'd got so far and settled in a place in Haran. No, not Haran. Somewhere. They left Ur of the Chaldees and went on a journey, and they settled in Haran. There it is, Haran. And they lived there a long time. So they'd actually traveled already. But it seems that Abram already knew that God had told him, you need to travel further on. You've got to go hundreds of miles further into the land of Canaan. That you've got to go there. And it seems like he knew that. But we pick it up here, where I've just the bit that I've just read, where you know he had this encounter with God. And just use your imagination if you can. What was that like? What was that encounter with God like for Abram? And he's there, he's dwelling in his tents or whatever. He's got his sheep and his goats hanging around and his servants and food here and there and wherever. And things are going on in his life. And God steps into his life. God comes near. And, he says, leave your country. You know, go. Leave your country and to the land I'll show you. And then he makes this incredible promise about all that's going to happen. I'm going to pick out just a few aspects of how Abram encountered God. So the first thing is that he heard him. He heard him. God had said this to him, and he heard him. Have you ever heard God speak to you? Audibly. He who made the human ear can surely speak into the human ear. It's possible. I have met people who have heard God say things. But has he said things in other ways to us? Have we heard God say to us, go somewhere or do something? Has God set direction to our lives and have we heard him? Abraham encountered God. He heard him. God heard him. We can hear God. He can speak to us. Secondly, he had this promise. God gave him a promise. This is all part of Abraham's encounter with God. And it was just astounding. I mean, look at it, verse 2. He's being told, a nobody is being told, I will make you into a great nation and bless you. From you is going to come a nation. Wow, that's enough to put a smile on his face. And he says, I'm going to make your name great and you'll be a blessing. Could you imagine, for example, something that happens in your life, something that you do in your life that people could be talking about you 200 years from now? Because of the significance of what you've done. What a thought that would be. And yet here Abraham was being told, I'll make your name great and you will be a blessing. He was going to bless people. He's going to do good to people. And further than that, he says, I'm going to bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. So he's going to kind of protect him as well. And then he says, it's astounding this. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. I mean, this is just astounding stuff, isn't it? Everybody on the whole of the earth was going to be blessed through Abram. That's what God said to him. I mean, fast forward 1800 years, and Jesus, the Son of God, comes in a human form as a man. In his human lineage, he comes back from Abraham. So that's the blessing. You know, everybody in the earth is going to come through Jesus. But that's the promise that Abram hears from God. And it must have just blown his mind away, blown him. So he heard him, he had a promise, and secondly, he obeyed him. Verse 4, Abram left, as the Lord had told him. With the verse which we read earlier from John speaks about knowing what Jesus wants and obeying him. And Abraham obeyed. He did what was told to him to do. And obedience is all part of the Christian life, isn't it? It's not just, going to meetings and having nice feelings. It is obedience. It is doing what he tells us to do and having our lives conformed to the kind of pattern that Jesus wants us to live. So that, again, is another facet of encountering God in our lives, that we actually do what he says. It's not just stuff in our heads which we believe and think and talk, but it's stuff that we do. It's how we relate to people. It's how we live our lives. And obedience is part of our encounter with God. And I want to say, so that's the third thing. The fourth thing I want to say is that, I think this is in there, but Abram lived dangerously. I kind of like that bit about life for people and even for myself. I just love the idea of living dangerously, but wisely. But it's just that he was 75 years old. The guy was 75 years old when he decided to up sticks and travel hundreds of miles. And I think that's amazing. I think that's amazing. He's obviously a get up and go kind of person. He was a let's do it kind of person, and he was going to make it. I read this quote the other day. It said, "The only impossible journey is the one you never begin." The only impossible journey is the one you never begin. Well, Abraham began it, and he didn't know where it was going to take him, but he went off, and he lived dangerously. I don't know, but sometimes when you're kind of talking with people and you're parting, sometimes I say, take care. I don't know quite why I say that, but I do say that. Maybe you say that when you say bye-bye to them, take care, on the phone or whatever. And actually, I think I want to switch that. I want to say, take risks. You say, you know, bye-bye, take risks. This week, take risks, go for it. Live life to the full. Live life to the full. Go where God wants you to go. Live the way he wants you to live. Go and have an adventure. Take risks. You won't see everything coming the way you want it to, but my goodness, it'll be such a thrill to walk with God and to see where you get to in life. We have a choice. We have a choice to waste our lives or a choice to walk with God and to do what he wants with our lives. And I know where the adventure is. I know where the real adventure is. It's in obeying God and doing what he wants. And so Abraham, he took risks. So that's the fourth thing. Fifthly, he believed God. He's known as the father of faith, actually. Abraham believed God, and it was counted for him as righteousness. And Paul later says, kind of keys into that, and he says that's how everybody becomes Christians. It's not by doing stuff that you become a Christian, but it's by believing God. It's by trusting God with your life. And Abraham did that. He believed God. And God said, that guy is righteous because he believes me. I'm going to count him as righteous, even though actually he messed up a couple of times subsequently. But God, because Abraham believed God, he was counted as righteous. That's how we become Christians. So he was a man who believed God, and he walked by faith. He walked by faith. The challenge has come to us. We can't see how things are going to work out. And yet, the daily challenge, the weekly challenge, is to trust God. To trust God with this situation. To trust God with the things that you're facing this week. And as it were, hear Jesus say, come on, let's do this together. It's not just you. Let's do this together. Jesus is with us. So that's all part of his encounter with God. And finally, God appeared to him. Verse 7, if you just look at that there. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring I'll give this land. What do you think that was like? What do you think, you know, what would that have looked like for Abram? It says God appeared to him. Did he come in human form? Was it angelic? Whatever. We just don't know. Just the simple statement that he appeared to him. Talk about an encounter with God. Abraham experienced an encounter with God. He appeared to him. So I pulled out several facets of Abraham encountering God. It wasn't just in the moments, but it was throughout his life. And that's for us as well. It's in moments, but it's throughout our lives too. I want to show you another video clip of somebody who had an encounter with God, which surprised him, and it surprised us when we heard about it. This is a guy who was given a try praying booklet And this is what happened.
I heard the book, Try Praying, so I started to read it. And there was a bit in it that said, if you won't go to the door and let Lord Jesus come in, ask him to come into your house. I thought, well, I've nothing to lose, you know. And I went, opened the front door, and I said, just like to come in, Lord Jesus, please come in. I left the front door open and the lounge door open, and I sat down, and I could see the image of Lord Jesus at the door, the white robe on, and he was glowing, and it was overwhelming. The hairs in the back of my head were standing. I can't remember exactly what I said, but it was like, please try and heal me and help me. I got a scan, and there was diagnosed. The diagnosis I had in the first place was incorrect. It was nowhere near as serious as the pancreas cancer. And I just put that down to, well, a spiritual effect that I had. The experience was, it was God. It changed that, whether it's true or not. But that's what I believe. And I prayed all the way through it and asked God and Jesus to help me. And I really believe that's, my life's in your hands. I've actually handed my wife and Will over to the care of God, as I understand him. And with this on me, you know, it maybe sounds crazy, but it doesn't worry me. I mean, I'm not scared of death, you know. Not that I want to die, you know. I love my wife. But I've no fear. I've sort of replaced any fear with faith.
John, it's all kind of black and white there, but actually makes it look like it's quite ancient. This is just a few years ago, and he lives up the road. John Gordon, a lovely man. John met him, and also Malcolm Jefferson met him, and I've met him too. And the reason why that was such bad filming was because I did it on my iPhone. he'd got this sentence of death in his life. You know, he'd got pancreatic cancer, so it seemed, and liver cancer, and he's offered a Try Praying booklet and a visit. And so John and Malcolm went to visit him, prayed with him, gave him a Try Praying booklet. And he's working his way through the Try Praying booklet. And he gets to day 6 on the Try Praying booklet, which is where you can receive Christ into your life. And just kind of acted out, as he was saying there, about opening the door of his life. And he was just doing everything that it says in the booklet. And he went to his front door, opened the living room door, sat on the settee, going to ask Christ to come into his life and to heal him. And he looks up and he sees Jesus standing there. Hairs on the back of his head. Changed life. And, as he said there, the diagnosis changed. It wasn't a miracle as such. He finally got the diagnosis correct. It was endocrine cancer, and he had been treated for that. But my point is, the reason why I'm showing this is he just had an experience of Christ. He had the manifestation of the presence of Christ in his life, and it transformed his life. I remember rather humorously, I think it was Malcolm went to visit him a few weeks later on, and he rather sheepishly explained this experience that he'd had. And he said, is this normal? To which the only easy answer can be, yeah, everybody gets that to start with. We wish. The manifestation of the presence of God. The encounter with God is all of life. Like the air we breathe, it's all around us now. But the manifestation of the presence of God, as Abraham did in different ways through his life, was something which fashioned his life and led him into eternity. So for us, where are we going to go? How are we going to respond? Have we actually, as John did, have we actually received Christ into our lives? Have we had that initial personal moment of handing our life over to Christ, saying, Jesus, I want you to make your home in me. I want to get to know you for real. Forgive me for the mess I'm making in my life, and I want you to make my life the way you want it to. Have we done that? Because that's the starting point. Are we obeying him? Are we obeying him? Are we living dangerously, but wisely? Are we obeying what he tells us to do? And are we right now trusting him? Trusting him with our lives. Let's stand. Let's stand, and I'm going to pray. And I'm just going to ask that the Lord, through his Spirit, will come to us, minister to us, and have your moment with the Lord just now. Have your moment with the Lord just now. So I'm going to say a brief prayer, and then we're going to wait, and you can have your moment or your moments with the Lord. So Lord, we do pray in this place of ancient spirituality, going back further as we've looked at Abraham all those years back, place of really ancient spirituality. And we stand here as a group of people saying we want to know you. So we ask that you, Holy Spirit, would draw near to us. We ask that you would manifest your presence in our lives. We ask that you'd speak to us and give us ears to hear and hearts to obey and a life to live the adventure of you being with us. So come, Holy Spirit, minister to us now. Pray you'd breathe on us, Lord. A fresh experience of your love. We pray that you would cleanse us from the dross in our lives. I pray you'd switch the switch in our hearts from unbelief and cynicism and doubt to a place of faith and confidence in you. So that as we face things tomorrow, we actually face them with you. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us even just now. Who knows what you're going to do with our lives? But Lord, you have a plan and a purpose for us. And I pray you'd speak to us concerning the direction of our lives, that we would live fruitful lives, powerful lives, significant lives, as we live them with you. And for this week, Lord, we just want to say here that we trust you. We trust you for this week and all that happens. We trust you now. Amen.